The escalating tensions in eastern Ukraine are being called Russian incitement by the West and a crackdown on free speech by the Russians. Here's U.S. State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki speaking after a conversation between President Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday, where there was apparently no progress reported on easing the tensions.
We're very concerned about evidence of Russian support for a concerted, orchestrated campaign of incitement and sabotage to undermine and destabilize the Ukrainian state.
But can anyone stop this unrest? And can it be said that Ukraine is already essentially lost? Joining me now is Ian Bremmer, president and founder of Eurasia Group, a global political research and consulting firm. Ian, welcome back.
Delighted to be with you.
Is there any way to stop Russia here, or stop what looks like a green light from Russia or from pro-Russian insurgents to confront the Ukrainian government?
I think it's more a question of how they're going to do it than whether. You know, if the Ukrainian government actually follows through on militarily trying to roust these occupiers in southeast Ukraine, they're probably going to lose a big part of their country. If they don't, they're probably going to lose a big part of their country. It's gotten to the point that they don't really have any good options.
And Putin has called the Ukrainians bluff, and the Ukrainians are basically waving the flag. Can anyone help us here?
Yeah, and the point is that the United States is very clear that there's no military assistance coming to the Ukrainians. They're more than willing to continue to talk about sanctions. President Obama just yesterday had his sixth direct phone call with Putin. It's the same conversation. It's you got to leave Crimea. It's don't go any farther. There are going to be consequences. Those consequences will be tougher sanctions. Look, the Russians have paid something like $100 to $200 billion in subsidies for Ukraine over the last 20 years. The country's a basket case. This is not about economics for the Russians. And the United States can certainly hurt Russia over the long term, but none of that is going to help the Ukrainians over the course of the coming weeks. The question for the Americans right now is, how much do we want to continue to support Kiev as they lose eastern Ukraine, as they lose it? Do we want to try to ensure that there is something that remains of Ukrainian government that tilts to the West? And if there is, then, you know, the Americans, the Europeans need to focus all of their efforts on that. Because right now, it's going to be tough not just to keep east Ukraine, which is falling by the moment, but also to maintain anything that looks like the existing Ukrainian government in Kiev.
From your perspective as a research and a political consultant, is there a partition option here, an eastern Ukraine versus western Ukraine with Kiev as the capital?
We're moving in that direction. The problem is that east Ukraine does not want to be partitioned into Russia. If you were to have a vote on the ground right now, you'd probably get about 20-25% of the population supporting a movement, an annexation by Russia, very different than what you have on the ground in Crimea. So if this breaks into violence, it's likely to escalate very quickly, and it's hard to imagine the Russians just stopping with interference in East Ukraine at that point, which means that the level of support the U.S. provides for the Ukrainians would and the Europeans would have to grow very significantly to keep that government intact. Right now, just don't see that happening. The U.S. pretty slow moving on this, sticking to the we're going to punish the Russians, we're going to put sanctions, we're going to give direct economic aid to the Ukrainians. This situation has spiraled out of control very much beyond that.
Finally, why would Vladimir Putin, thinking back, you know, to the Cold War now once again, why would Vladimir Putin want to set up a Brandenburg Gate kind of tense border between western Ukraine and Poland? What does that get him? And isn't he just looking for a buffer state, a kind of peaceful Ukraine as a buffer to NATO?
I think that the Russians right now are under an enormous amount of pressure. You have to understand, long term, everything that Putin has done here is a loser for him and his country. They've been in decline economically, politically, diplomatically, and demographically for 20 years now. They can take Ukraine, and if they really want, they can get rid of this Ukrainian government. They can have a buffer state. They're going to have to spend a lot more that they can't really afford on their own defense and national security. They're going to be stuck trading with countries like China that are going to drive an incredibly hard deal in price to work with them because they won't have any options. Long term, this is a disaster for Russia. But in the near term, if they want to bring the Ukrainians down with them, they certainly can. And unfortunately, that is the scenario that's now playing out.
Any chance that you're wrong? Lots of people have been saying this is a loser. He's running out of options. This is a lose-lose-lose situation. But to the world, it looks like Putin is winning, winning, winning.
Yeah, but domestically is the issue. In Russia right now, Putin's approval rates are over 80%. They were at 60% at the beginning of this Ukraine crisis. It's from the Russian perspective, this is an aggrieved nation that the West has tried to take advantage of at every step over the past 20 years, from NATO enlargement to pipeline diversification to the Libya removal of Gaddafi, and now to the abrogation of an agreed deal between the Ukrainian president and the opposition, leading to an illegitimate Ukrainian government. That is being rectified by their leader, President Putin. The Russian narrative is so radically different from what we've heard in the United States in the media. And unfortunately, much as we all agree with the American narrative, it's the Russians that are causing us the trouble right now, and they see the world very differently.
Ian Bremmer is president and founder of Eurasia Group, a global political research and consulting firm. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.